Welcome back here on Can't Wait, and we pick up our NBA preview extravaganza with the Indiana Pacers. And the first thing you talk about when you look at this depth chart, Paul George, power forward. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy coming off a devastating injury who played, how many games did he play last year? Not many.
Probably just 20 games.
Just that last little stretch.
Yeah, we've got computers.
Yeah.
He only played 6 games? Wow.
Yeah,
I thought he played more than... I guess with the... Yeah. Wow. Just 6 games.
Huh. They've completely remade the image of this roster. This used to be kind of the Memphis Grizzlies East.
Yeah.
Where they were huge and they would bully you and they would strangle you with unbelievable defense and score just enough points to beat you.
Yeah.
But they've let Roy Hibbert go to the Lakers. I mean, they didn't want him back.
Yeah, they got rid of him. Yeah.
Yes. David West took $11 million less to go play for the Spurs.
Good for you, David.
He's had not nice things to say about the Pacers on the way out.
Yeah.
And Larry Bird has reimagined this team as a small ball team. That's the way they're going to play. They're going to try to open it up, score more, penetrate, have a little more of an aesthetically pleasing kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George doesn't seem too excited about playing power forward, though.
No, and you know what made me concerned is I saw an interview with Frank Vogel where he was talking about some of this stuff and talking about, you know, the idea of using Paul George as a power forward and getting away from that bruising lineup that you mentioned. And the thing that made me really concerned was that he talked about the sort of direct inspiration being, you know, playing up against those peak heat teams, mm-hmm. you know, for all those playoff series that the Pacers had with them and having to deal with, you know, LeBron at the four and what those teams were able to do without having a traditional center and by being, you know, more athletic and exploiting mm-hmm. those matchups. But you know what? They don't have LeBron James.
Nope.
And they don't have Chris Bosh.
not even close.
And they don't have Dwayne Wade. They've got Monte Ellis and they've got Jan Mahinmi.
I guess Monte is your Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, and
Mahimni's your Bosh.
Yeah, or maybe Miles Turner is your Bosh. Or, you know, the bottom line is the reason that the Heat were able to be successful was that they found a style that let them have their best players on the court.
With the most space to operate.
With the most space to operate. It's not because there's anything magical about that style that means that it's going to make any other player better.
No, it's LeBron James.
Right, exactly. And also, oh, by the way, LeBron James was playing at 270. Listed always, you know, less than that. He was playing close to 270.
He's Karl Malone.
Yeah.
He can play power forward because he's the size of Karl Malone.
Paul George is 220.
He is a lanky, thin, you know, at times can go ahead and play this stretch four in small ball spurts.
Yeah.
If he's your full-time power forward coming off this injury, it is going to be a grind.
Yeah.
He's going to have to body up with dudes bigger than him and rebound.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily, because on the offensive end, I think he's going to have a magnificent time mm-hmm. playing power forward. He is way too fast for power forwards.
Yeah.
And he's way too big for small forwards. And it's part of what makes him such a devastating player. And if he can withstand the physicality on the defensive end and hold up just enough, he is going to have a magnificent season.
Yeah.
I mean, no question about it. But this is going to be such a massive grind for a dude who's just now getting back into basketball shape.
Yeah.
And I'm not optimistic about the returns this year.
Mm-mm.
And I'm not real excited about what they're going to finish at. I mean, Frank Vogel is an awesome coach. And I think Paul George is one of the, you know, when healthy, one of the 5 best players in that conference. This is just a lot of unanswered questions. I hesitate to say what I think they're going to finish at because I just have no idea what this team's going to look like.
Yeah, but last year they won 38 games and
somehow,
a great testament.
How did they do that?
Yeah, a testament to Paul Vogel that, you know, getting 6 games out of Paul George, and they were not meaningful games. He was
right.
playing 15 minutes, just like trying to see if he could get into playoff shape if they made the playoffs. So, you know what? I hate to overlook them given that, but one thing is that they still had, with, you know, to take Paul George out of it, you still had David West and you still had Hibbert,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, you can make arguments for why stylistically they wanted to move away from that, but it meant that they were returning 3/5 of their starters from what had been one of the 2 best teams in the East for the last few years. They still had a clear identity on defense.
Continuity.
This year, you know, you're using Paul George in a very new role. You're bringing in Monte Ellis, who is a huge wild card.
Yeah, he's not exactly somebody you bring in terms of maintaining continuity.
No, not at all.
He's somebody who can score 50 for you sometimes, and he's one of the most fun guys to watch if you're not involved directly with the team.
Right.
But, I mean, you kind of want Monte being your sixth man at this point. That's kind of the ideal situation. He's their second best guy.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at, a team where Monte Ellis is the number two option.
Yeah, and Monte definitely took a step back last year.
That was a weird deal because he was awesome the first part of the year before Rondo, who's allegedly one of his best friends.
Yeah,
but they just don't complement each other on a basketball court at all.
Yeah,
but before they made that trade, he was a big reason why Dallas had one of the best offenses in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a real nice pick and roll ball handler for Rick Carlisle.
Yeah,
he really worked well with Nowitzki. I just don't like Paul George is not Nowitzki. That's not his game. He's not like somebody who sets a screen, rolls, and hits a 25-footer.
Right.
Everybody wants to dive to the rim on this team.
Yeah.
Who's the shooter? Is it CJ Miles? I mean, allegedly.
Yeah.
George Hill's not that guy.
Right.
I mean, Solomon Hill, Chase, but I mean, we got the UA connection on the wing there with Hill and Budinger.
Right.
I mean, who's the shooter here?
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem. Is they want to play this spacey offense, and you know, CJ Miles is a guy who's a 35% career.
I like him.
He's a nice player,
but he's your starting three,
right?
That's trouble.
Yeah, yeah, and
because he's small for the three,
right?
And with George being small for the four, I don't like the way that this team meshes anymore.
They're going to need a lot out of Miles Turner, I think, because...
And he was one of the guys that wasn't quite ready.
Right.
Like, that was a project pick.
Yeah. But, I mean, they have ahead of him, they've got Jan Mahinmi, who, if he's getting 8 to 10 minutes a game as your backup center...
As your energy center?
Yeah.
Totally.
Then, yeah, fine. It's not like he's not an NBA player. But you don't want 32 minutes a game out of Jan Mahinmi, and they don't have options. I mean, maybe they'll play some Jordan Hill
at center.
They're going
to play a lot of Jordan Hill at center, and ask the Lakers how that went.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then, you know, they don't have a lot of options in the post. And, I think that it's all well and good to say we want to play fast, we want to have a different style, but you still have to be able to defend in the post. You still have to be able to, box out and rebound. And I don't know. I do not think that this team is going to be able to realistically contend for a playoff spot this year. I think that they're trying to retool on the fly while still being fringe playoff
right
contender. But I think that this season it's not going to happen. I think less than 38 wins.
Totally agree, because I don't like the geometry offensively either.
Yeah.
I don't see how a guard rotation of George Hill, Rodney Stuckey, and Monte Ellis helps anybody.
Yeah.
All those guys kind of want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And George Hill at this stage of the game, he's better off as a caretaker point guard. I like George Hill and Monte Ellis together.
Yeah.
And I like George Hill and Rodney Stuckey together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the three of them together.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think George Hill's a nice, big, defensive-minded guy who can really play if he's not handling the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea here is that Monte Ellis is going to be the one handling the ball.
Yeah.
But George Hill's not somebody you care about shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He can go ahead and make shots, but this isn't a dude that shoots like 44% from three.
Right.
He's an opportunistic guy who can sometimes knock down a shot if you're nowhere near him.
Yeah.
But yeah, offensively, I see them loosening it up more than the Hibbert West days. But I still don't think it's as effective. I don't think this is going to be an efficient offense.
Yeah.
And with the two steps back they're going to take defensively, I think 32 is probably a fair number. And that's with Paul George at 100%.
Right, which we don't know.
So I think this is kind of a stealth case for like 28.
Yeah, I agree. I think this team could be worse than people realize. And it's a credit to Frank Vogel that we even are seriously considering whether, they have enough in them.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's a very good coach. No question. All right, well, I think that's enough
that's
on the Pacers.
That's plenty, because we got a lot to talk about with this next team. The Los Angeles Clippers bring back pretty much everybody. We bring in a little Paul Pierce. We bring in a little Lance Stephenson.
Little Josh Smith.
We somehow bring back DeAndre Jordan.
Yep.
It's looking like a team that is exactly what they were last year, with even more personality clashes. You know, I think this is a team that can win the title. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree that you look at this roster, there's enough talent to win the title here. Mm-hmm. Do they? Are they going to? What do you think?
I don't, God, yeah.
They won 56 last year.
And, you know, they won a series that felt like the Western Conference Finals in the first round.
That was an all-time series. That one against the Spurs, it was so good.
And it had the feel of a turning point series.
Right.
Narratively. You know, we like to talk about sports and the NBA in particular in terms of these narratives and the passing of the torch and all mm-hmm. that. It felt like that was a huge moment for the Clippers to be able to beat the Spurs in a tough seven-game series. And then they come out, they look amazing against the Rockets, and then I still don't know what happened.
I don't think anyone will know what happened in that game.
Yeah. They just...
Is that the whole reason they signed Josh Smith, just so it wouldn't happen again?
Right.
Because that was a nightmare for them.
Yeah. And you know, this is a team that will once again have one of the best, if not the best, offenses in the league. They have more options on offense now because, mm-hmm. you know, the addition of Paul Pierce lets them do some interesting things, play some lineups with Blake at the five and Paul
Those
at the four.
Those small ball lineups with Blake at the five could just be like Warriors style otherworldly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this is going to be a really good offense. And I like what Paul Pierce does as mm-hmm. well to bring, you know, that leadership, that swagger.
Doc's proxy.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody who can help to be Doc's voice in the locker room as well.
We won the title in Boston doing this, this, and this. When Doc says this, he means this.
Exactly.
It's been way too long bringing Pierce and Doc back together.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And Lance is just a couple years removed from being
a
useful player.
Let's talk about Lance, yeah. Because that year in Charlotte was about as bad a season as anybody with his talent can have.
Yeah.
It was not that long ago when he was deciding playoff series.
Yeah.
There was talk of him being... he was the most controversial all-star snub
mm-hmm.
as recently as two seasons ago.
Yep.
He led the league in triple-doubles. There are things that he can do on a basketball floor that are not replicated by that many other guys.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of a better defensive Tyreek Evans.
Mm-hmm. That's a good comparison.
I think that he is such a force physically at that wing spot. He just bullies guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the plan for Lance on this roster is he's Chris Paul's backup. Mm-hmm. I think they want him to kind of run the offense when Chris takes a seat. He's going to be the lead ball handler. He'll run pick and roll. He'll do Lance stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think he got to do a lot of Lance stuff in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because obviously whatever Steve Clifford wanted to do is in direct opposition with what Lance is good at. Yeah. It was never going to work.
Yeah.
And all they had to do to bring in Lance was give up Spencer Hawes, who Doc would not play. Did not trust him to be out there.
Yeah.
For good reason. He was bad.
Yeah.
So if Lance doesn't work out here, it's kind of a no-risk proposition. It's mm-hmm. it's the last year of the deal, right?
Yeah, I believe. Well, I think there's an option.
Right. It's a team option, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it's a team option.
They can get out of this if Lance burns this bridge, I think that's it for him.
He's playing in China, I think.
Because there's a lot of teams that just want no part of Lance.
Right.
And if he wants to maintain some sort of reputation in the league as a guy that can get it done, he's got to get it done here because it's all here for him.
Yeah.
So you look at they're still thin behind DeAndre. It's Cole Aldridge and these really small lineups. They've never been able to figure out that spot because DeAndre is another one of these guys that they just can't play him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing we talked about with Andre Drummond. There are just games where he's going to be at the foul line 25 times, and he's going to completely suck the energy out of the room. And if I think everyone's being honest, the reason why they didn't make that huge fuss to bring DeAndre back the first time, I don't think Chris Paul was that sad to see him go.
Yeah.
I think Chris Paul got so mad every time an opponent went into hack a DeAndre that he wasn't able to get into a flow and play his game. Mm-hmm. It drove him insane.
And I also think that for a guy like Chris Paul, who is a hard worker but also kind of a hard ass.
He's hard on his teammates.
He's hard on his teammates. And for free throw shooting, which is something that first of all, Chris Paul is very good at.
Yes. Just go do it. His attitude is just go do it. You're a pro.
Yeah.
Knock those down.
Right. Yeah. That is your job. Do your job. I mean, he's a guy who shot 90% last year from the
free throw line. Do that every year.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a career 86% shooter on high volume, too. Mm-hmm. So I have to imagine that that's a very, very challenging relationship.
He'll never understand how somebody can't just hit 70%.
Yeah.
It is beyond his comprehension. It makes him livid.
Yeah. And frankly, it's kind of beyond mine, too. Yes. I mean, this is your job.
For real.
Yeah.
But you look at the rest of that. If we're talking about your center struggling to hit free throws as the thing we're most worried about, you're probably a pretty good team.
Yeah.
This is a really good team.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, they're right in there. I mean, it's going to be kind of a broken record when we talk about it with these Western Conference teams. But they are right in there with the Rockets and with the Warriors and with the Spurs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is going to come down to who is healthy in the playoffs, how do the matchups shake out, who ends up with home court advantage in those key games. But this Clippers team is better than last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they, you know, last year had, even though on paper it looked like they were going to be reasonably deep, they had very few guys they could rely on in the playoffs.
Six guys they played. The starters and Jamal Crawford.
And this year, you know, they, again, on paper, it looks like they should be able to go 8-9 deep pretty convincingly in the playoffs with different looks.
And be able to defend that wing spot. That small forward has been a really bad way and been a really bad shape for them.
Yeah.
And they just get killed at that spot.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce can at least hang around guys. I mean, he's like a tough old man at this point, and he's better off playing power forward. But against, you know, small forwards, he can go get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Lance can go get it done.
But if you had to, I mean, this is, again, where we have to put it into perspective. When we compare them to, like, the question marks that we discussed for the Warriors, for instance, where, you know, maybe our most serious question was, with Harrison Barnes in a contract year, do he and Iggy have the same dynamic where they're able to coexist and Barnes isn't just looking for his points? Who do you trust more, though? Harrison Barnes in that Warriors system where they've won a ring and they've bought in, or getting something out of Lance Stephenson?
I trust Harrison Barnes way more.
Right.
He's way more mature.
Yeah. So there's a lot riding on. I mean, Lance Stephenson is not just like a flyer here. I mean, I think they really need
him
to be a player.
On Lance.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
Yeah.
But you're also got the best point guard in the league, and you have Blake Griffin, who's going to finish top five in the MVP voting.
Yeah.
I don't know if people really appreciate Blake Griffin. Do you think they do? Because I don't think they do.
No, I think that he is one of those guys who has, over the course of his career, gone from being overrated to being underrated.
He is spectacular. He is maybe the best passer at that position that's not LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
He's now a pretty reliable mid-range jump shooter.
Yep.
He can still dunk all over you.
Yeah.
And what are people missing with him? He is phenomenal.
Yeah, I think that some of it is that people who are great dunkers tend to get pigeonholed, especially when earlier in their careers, like Blake, that's really what they do.
Yeah, and he was one of those guys that was like a 58% free throw shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
He's now a really good shooter.
Yeah, yeah. He's someone who he went from that being a liability, and he was in the same situation that DeAndre Jordan is, where people would foul him and it affected their offense. Last year, he shot almost 73%.
That's really good.
For power forward, that's all you need.
Yep.
You know, that's a perfectly acceptable number. But I agree. I mean, he's great. He's fun to watch. I think it's a combination of the fact that he gets pigeonholed as a dunker, and also that, you know what, his personality can be a little grating.
Yeah, he's on all the commercials.
He's on the commercials, but also on court as well.
Yeah.
He whines to the refs.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, he's that way about him.
People are bothered by him.
Yeah, yeah, and I get it, but he's really fun to watch, and he's a great player.
If you're picking between him and Zach Randolph, like, who's cooler?
Right.
when they get into it, it's like, oh, let's see Z-Bo punch him in the face.
Right.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
One thing we can all agree on is they're going to be better than the team they share an arena with this year.
Mm.
The Los Angeles Lakers, they think they're making the playoffs. I don't know. What are the expectations here? What can they realistically expect to do this year? And where do you like what they've got for the next, say, 5 years?
I think that, bravado aside, they don't expect to make the playoffs.
I agree. I think that's Kobe being Kobe.
Yeah.
And if you're just honestly looking at this team and that conference, you have to kind of think of them the same way you think of like the Nuggets and the Jazz. And
yeah, and I think that the Nuggets are actually in some ways kind of a good comp in terms of what are their goals for the season. Their goals for this season are, you know, find out if D'Angelo Russell is a future All-Star.
Yes.
And I think they think he is, and I think that's a reasonable expectation. Make sure that he is happy. Make sure that he likes his role, that he's developing the right habits.
Put him in a position to succeed.
Exactly. Turn him into the player that Kobe passes the torch onto. Mm-hmm. They want to know that Julius Randle comes back healthy and gives them the production they expected.
Is he at least an asset worthy of that 7 pick?
Right, right. And I think that he very reasonably projects to be someone who was valuable there.
I like him too.
Yeah, and he's a guy who I think fits in well with Hibbert as well. He benefits a lot from that.
Yeah.
You know,
Hibbert erases a lot of mistakes defensively.
Yeah. And you know, you don't want to use that as an excuse for guys to not try on defense, but I think it gives them a little bit more respectability to at least have a blueprint in place where it's, you can see how this team could be not a terrible defensive team if people stick to their schemes and, you know, play smart and let Hibbert do his thing. You know, you're never going to have a great defensive team when Nick Young and Kobe Bryant are your starting wings. But at least this team, I think, wants to try to be respectable. And if the young guys show promise and it's not a dysfunctional environment, then it becomes an appealing destination going forward for free agents.
They still get the meetings.
Yeah, they still get the meetings, but maybe they actually start making progress in the meetings because all of a sudden they're not just selling, isn't it great to live in LA and be on billboards, but they say, hey, you want to play with D'Angelo Russell, who's going to be an all-star for the next decade?
You want to play with Tom Thibodeau, our head coach? Yeah. There's no, Byron Scott's not the coach here.
No, not for long. I'm sorry.
But I do. I kind of like, I actually am really interested to watch them play this year because I think there are some really interesting lineups they can throw out there. I think Brandon Bass is a nice player, and I think that's somebody that they could even maybe flip at the deadline to somebody that maybe gets dinged up a little bit at power forward. Mm-hmm. I've always liked Lou Williams, and I would love to see Lou Williams bombing threes for a better team, but he's just always one of those guys that's going to get Sixth Man of the Year votes because I don't know too many guys that come off the bench and score like him. I mean, it's the same list every year. It's Jamal Crawford. It's him. It's, you know, these are the guys that do it.
I'm really excited for the Lou Williams, Kobe, Swaggy P lineups.
Oh, so good. It could even put out all four of them with D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Kobe at four.
There you go.
Oh my God, right?
He's got the post game, right?
You put Hibbert, say, just block all the shots. We're not guarding anybody. Right. We're going D'Angelo Russell, Lou Williams, Swaggy, and Kobe at the four. Yeah. That's how we're going to beat teams. Come on.
Yeah. No, and, you know, I also think that the Robert Upshaw addition is a sneaky, good upside play.
Sure.
Because this is a guy who was... By the way, I've got to get out of that habit. I hate that this is a guy.
No, keep it going. Tell me what guy we got.
It's too much Hubie Brown in, as a childhood. He has a tremendous amount of upside as a shot blocker, but, you know, was a knucklehead in college and, you know, did things that get you kicked off teams. But maybe he saw, you know, he was scared straight enough that he's going to show up and be a professional. But there's question.
He learns verticality from the guy who invented it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. It's not crazy to imagine that he could be, you know, the Hassan Whiteside of 4 years from now after he's been out of the league and in Lebanon.
And he comes right back around and totally.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, the Lakers, unlike last year, I actually think that the Lakers are interesting and at least they've got some pieces and they're still going to be bad. But
you know who we haven't brought up? Jordan Clarkson was nice for them last year.
That's true.
And is that a case of him just by virtue of every NBA team needs somebody to go out there and actually make a few plays because they were just that bad?
Yeah.
Or is he a player?
I mean, I think it's more that. I mean, I think he's certainly somebody who's got a role in the NBA, but it reminds me a little bit of the Jeremy Lin situation where, you know, the player that he was as a rookie is probably the best version of himself.
And the best scenario for him to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I think that long term, he doesn't project as a guy who's going to be a starting guard in this league. But you could do worse if you're going to count on him for 20 minutes off the bench as a backup point guard.
For sure.
And someone who can play some two, play alongside D'Angelo Russell, you know, you could do a lot worse than Jordan Clarkson. So at least, you know, unlike last year, they don't have entirely depressing players at every position.
And you can see through the fog some really interesting trade packages they can start to put together.
It's true.
I mean, these are all guys on very, very affordable contracts
yeah.
who are interesting to a lot of teams around the league. And Mitch Kupchak's a very good GM.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will explore whatever options are out there to excel. Because the Lakers don't have to rebuild for a long time if Russell's a player.
Yeah.
So this year is it's some weird hybrid between a fun, exciting young team with a bunch of mismatched pieces and the farewell tour of one of the greatest players of his generation.
Yeah.
And that's a weird spot to be, but that's a really fun TV product.
And I hope that we get a full season out of Kobe.
Me too.
I do hope that for everything you can say about him, I want him to go out on 2 feet and go out on his own terms.
Yeah. Going out in a suit is not how this guy's meant to go out.
Yeah.
I want to see him scoring as many points as he possibly can, doing all the Kobe things he can do,
yeah.
and then riding off into the sunset into whatever that is going to be for him.
And I am really looking forward as well to... whenever, let's just pretend this is his last season, and we don't know.
Right.
I don't think he knows.
No.
I really...
And nobody... We don't deserve that answer. You know,
yeah.
We can't demand that from him right now.
Yeah. But let's just say... So let's say it is his last game. You know, his last year. His last game of the season, I'm looking at their schedule now, is a home game against Utah.
Mm.
And... you know, Utah, it's not exactly, they don't have like the world's greatest wing defenders on that roster. I would love, if Kobe had announced before that game, you know, in the week leading up that this is going to be the end, just imagine the all-time performance that we would get out of Kobe trying to go out with one blaze of glory.
Oh, for sure.
And he could go 12 for 60.
Sure.
In that game.
I love it.
But it will be the appointment television of this NBA season if we know that Kobe's got his last game in what would otherwise be a kind of meaningless regular season, who cares thing. But last game at home, I'm excited about that already.
And let's say he's 94 points short of Kareem.
Right. Yeah.
Some absurd number that right. is theoretically possible.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, oh, it would just be great. So we'll be hoping for a healthy Kobe at the end of the year. And you know what? I hope D'Angelo Russell is a player too, because the league is better when the Lakers are good. It's
and
more interesting.
I would bet on him being a player.
Yeah,
there's,
I think so
there's
too.
Just not that many guys that pass like him.
Yep, yep.
So we move on to the last team of our preview for today, the Memphis Grizzlies. Same as it ever was. They run
all right,
it.
This
is what they do.
Good segment.
Yeah.
See you next week.
They grit, they grind, and we go.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about it for a few minutes, because this is a fun team.
Yeah.
It's a good squad. It's Mark Gasol. It looks like what they want to do is build around Gasol and Mike Conley for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And everybody else is kind of fungible. Like they're not looking to trade Zach Randolph.
Right.
If somebody offered up a little something that they saw some value in, I don't think that they would hesitate. Honestly.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, on his contract...
That's right.
Who are you going to get that's better?
He's worth so much more to Memphis than he would be to anybody else.
Yeah.
You ride this version of the Grizzlies out because the fans love this team.
Yeah.
I think whether or not they ever win a title, I don't think that this version of the Grizzlies wins a title.
No.
But they've been in the mix. They're such a pain in the butt, and they're so fun, and there's nobody like them.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those teams that the local fans, the way that Arizona remembers the Steve Nash Suns, or, you know, just the way that some teams just resonate with a fan base. It doesn't matter if you won the title or not. You gave your fans, like, five really fun years.
Yeah.
And All these guys are just going to be heroes there forever.
Yeah.
Tony Allen is going to be, he won't ever have to buy a beer in Memphis, nor yeah. should he. Yeah. So I just want to see them just keep running this out, keep doing what they do, yeah. and I don't want them to change.
Yeah, and I don't think that they will. And it's funny, though, that just, I guess, the way that basketball karma works, that, you know, they go out and they bring in John Hollinger mm-hmm. in the front office, who's, you know, one of the brilliant stat minds. Invented PER, yeah. Invented a lot of the concepts that are now kind of fundamental concepts we're talking about the game.
A huge bridge in terms of the fans discussing analytics.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was very exciting, I think, as a fan when he got hired, because, you know, we'd had years to read about what he thought about building basketball teams
yeah.
and what he thought about player evaluation. So we had much more insight into his philosophy than we would for a guy who was the director of international scouting.
Or some former player.
Yeah, exactly.
Who had, like, relationships in the league.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yet he's been cursed to be stuck with a team that, though a very good team, mm-hmm. he really has not had much flexibility, and he has not been able to play a stat-friendly style.
No.
And it's just by virtue of the fact that, you know, the best players that he has are players that fit a particular mold, and, you know, it's tough to make moves. They've done things. They've rolled the dice. They've, mm-hmm. every year on the fringes, they'll bring in role players, but they have never been able to find that, you know, dead-eye wing shooter that will help to open up and unlock their offense. And here we are, another offseason passes, and the big wing addition is Matt Barnes.
A perfect Grizzly.
Perfect Grizzly.
Can't shoot it.
Right, exactly. That's why he's perfect. He does all the Grizzly things that you already love about the Grizzlies and can't shoot.
I mean,
you couldn't write it up.
I think they did that just because they're fully expecting to play the Clippers again in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the year it just turns into a hockey brawl.
Yeah.
So bringing in Matt Barnes to be that extra loose cannon wild card.
Right.
Fighting his former best friends.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, at least with Matt Barnes, you do have to keep a guy on him. You know, mm-hmm. let's say he's not Tony Allen.
Right.
He's somebody who can hit open threes. So I actually do think that, you know, there's a role for him to play here. But ultimately, you know, what's different about this team than last year that gives them more upside? I don't really think there's anything there. Their best players are in their prime. They're not getting better than they are now. Brandon Wright was a nice signing.
I was just going to bring him up. I think this is the best backup center in the league, and they're playing him behind the best center in the league.
Yeah, but they already had maybe the best backup center in the league.
Yeah, I think
the thing.
I think Wright's a little better.
Yeah.
And he's a better offensive center.
He is, yeah.
Costa Kufis was a better defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Wright is one of the league's best dive man on the pick and roll.
Yeah.
And Gasol and Randolph don't do that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Wright can come in there and give them a different look. In my mind, I like him and Conley together. I think that's a nice pairing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he scores more efficiently than most backup centers.
Yes.
In fact, all backup centers.
All players, period.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good at this one thing he's good at.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a nice year from Vince Carter.
Hmm.
I think that he came over there and was not physically right. And mm-hmm. then showed some flashes. And I don't know if you saw this thing a couple days ago. They tested Vince's vertical.
No, he's, I didn't see that.
38 still.
Wow.
I mean, wow. He's going to be the only guy in the history of the world where his vertical leap and his age, you know,
oh my God.
where he's able to still kind of match that
up. I mean, he is 38. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, the thing that was so weird last season, and you know, I don't have the explanation for him, and I think your theory that he just wasn't right physically is as good a guess as any. But he went from, you know, 2 years in a row of shooting in the neighborhood of 40% from
right.
3-point and on high volume to shooting under 30%.
Completely falling off.
Yeah, and it just completely cratered his value. So if he's able to get back to something more akin to his career average, you know, in the 37
yeah,
range.
That's exactly what they need.
Yeah, that's what they were counting on last year. So, you know, yeah, they've got the chance of a better year out of him. I do like Brandon Wright as well. And, you know, I love all the guys they have. But I think that they're clearly in the next tier down in the
Absolutely.
West. And the other teams got better. And that's mm-hmm. the problem.
Yep.
And the I think that the blueprint for the Grizzlies was always, let's be there at the end and hope that the odds are in our favor.
Catch a matchup.
Catch a matchup, catch an injury, just roll on through, get there at the end, and then beat up on an Eastern Conference team.
Right.
And it could have happened at one point. They've had a big enough window, but I think that it's closing.
This might be the last year of that window.
Yeah.
I don't know what the move is post-Zebo.
Mm.
Because it's still going to be Gasol and Conley. And I think if Gasol and Conley's your foundation, that's as good as anybody's foundation.
Yeah.
The rest of these spots, they've not been able to draft because they're always in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they made these, like the Jeff Green thing, you know, that's somebody they pitched a first round pick for.
Yeah.
And that's interesting you bring up Hollinger because I can't imagine Hollinger was cool with that.
Yeah.
But then again, who's making that call?
Right.
So I love this team. I mean, we always have a soft spot for these guys.
Yeah.
They're so fun when they're in the mix, but it's ultimately a second round ceiling, isn't it?
Yeah. In the West, there are four teams that are clearly better.
Yeah.
So no matter how you shake up the matchups, they're going to come up against one of those teams.
And they're hoping they're coming up against one of those teams that's maybe missing a guy.
Right.
And who relies on small ball a little too much.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were counting on with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors just made a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah.
And Memphis, it still doesn't seem like they score enough points to hang with any of these teams that can go small.
And we haven't even really touched on the Thunder. I mean, we've talked about there being four teams. There are really five teams that are a clear notch above them.
Yes.
So they're not even looking
at... With New Orleans gaining on them.
With New Orleans gaining. So I think that they're just, unfortunately, a victim of a very tough conference. And the Grizzlies, what was their record last year?
They won 55 games.
Yeah.
And they finished with that garbage five seed because they still had the rule where the division winners get the top four.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were right there with Houston and L.A.
And at a certain point, you know, I feel like there have been more teams that we've said will be better than worse last year, but that can't happen.
Right. Math doesn't check out.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work out. And at a certain point, the other team's getting better. It has to come at the expense of someone else. I don't think the Grizzlies are like falling off the deep end or anything, but 55 wins is a lot of wins.
Yeah.
You know, the year before that, they had 50 wins.
Yep.
I think that's probably closer to what this team looks like.
I think it's kind of that same spot where Dallas has been.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can't be bad.
Yeah.
But I think the days of them being in the mid to high 50s and home court advantage, I think that's past.
Yeah.
I think they're at the, I think this is the last year of this window.
Yeah. Well, they've got a couple more years of Zebo, though, so they're kind of locked in. I mean, one way or the other, which is what this identity is.
This is what they are.
And yeah.
Ultimately, I think it's good for the league that there are some teams that just are... We don't want all the teams playing exactly the same.
Exactly.
I think Memphis makes the league better,
mm-hmm.
but for the purposes of this conversation, they're just a little worse.
A great supporting character in the story of this NBA season, but probably still a supporting character.
So that's going to do it for our eight teams that we ran through this week. Next week, we'll have, eight more?
Eight. Who knows?
Well, we'll go until we... run out of teams.
Yeah.
But what's happening locals only wise?
Hey, let's see. You know, actually, I think we're going to take a break from live performances this week, but we've got some good stuff up on the old website machine right now. Go to kxci.org, which you're already on.
Yes.
If you're listening to this.
And if you're here and you haven't checked out the archives yet.
Yeah, check them out.
It's really good. I mean, you've got probably days worth of entertainment at your fingertips now that you didn't have before.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's what our locals only tip is. Check out our archives, not just for locals only, for all of our shows here. And you can go back and listen to your favorites. And I especially would recommend that you dive into some DJs who maybe are on times when you're not in your car, you're not listening. That
there's weird, wild stuff happening on the airwaves here that you otherwise wouldn't know about.
Yeah, check out Julio Pena's show. That's one of my favorite shows, and it's Hex Induction Hours. It's on 10 o'clock to midnight on Thursdays, and now you can go check those out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to do it for us this week on Can't Wait, and we're going to keep doing this until someone tells us not to.